turning tonight, if you have your Bibles, to Psalm 89. Psalm 89, we want to begin reading just prior to the first verse. Maskil of Ethan the Ezrahite. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth will I make known thy faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I've made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David my servant. Thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne to all generations. Selah. And the heavens shall praise thy wonders, O Lord, thy faithfulness also in the congregation of the saints. For who in the heaven can be compared unto the Lord? Who among the sons of the mighty can be likened unto the Lord? God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him. O Lord God of hosts, who is a strong Lord like unto thee, or to thy faithfulness round about thee? Thou rulest the raging of the sea. When the waves thereof arise, thou stillest them. Thou hast broken Rahab in pieces as one that is slain. Thou hast scattered thine enemies with thy strong arm. The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. As for the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast founded them. The north and the south thou hast created them. Tabor and Hermon shall rejoice in thy name. Thou hast a mighty arm, strong is thy hand, and high is thy right hand. Justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. Mercy and truth shall go before thy face. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. For the Lord is our defense, and the Holy One of Israel is our King. Then thou spakest in vision to thy Holy One, and says, I have laid help upon one that is mighty. I have exalted one chosen out of the people. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him, with whom my hand shall be established. Mine arm also shall strengthen him. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son of wickedness afflict him. And I will beat down his foes before his face, and plague them that hate him. But my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him, and in my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hand also in the sea, and his right hand in the rivers. He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. But thou hast cast off and abhorred. Thou hast been wroth with thine anointed. Thou hast made void the covenant of thy servant. Thou hast profaned his crown by casting it to the ground. Thou hast broken down all his hedges. Thou hast brought his strongholds to ruin. All that pass by the way spoil him. He is a reproach to his neighbors. Thou hast set up the right hand of his adversaries. Thou hast made all his enemies to rejoice. Thou hast also turned the edge of his sword and hast not made him to stand in the battle. Thou hast made his glory to cease and cast his throne down to the ground. The days of his youth hast thou shortened. Thou hast covered him with shame, Selah. How long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave? Selah. Lord, where are thy former loving kindnesses which thou swearest unto David in thy truth? Remember, Lord, the reproach of thy servants, how I do bear in my bosom the reproach of all the mighty people. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Blessed be the Lord forevermore. Amen and amen. Let's bow together as we ask the Lord's blessing on his word. Father, we do pray that you'll work mightily to help us tonight to understand your message from this psalm. We're so grateful for the power of this word, for the fact that you've declared it to be a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our hearts. We pray that you'll move by the power of your Spirit here this night to enable us to see these things, to understand clearly the message that you have for us, the truth that is able to transform us by its power. And we pray these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen. In case you didn't notice, this is a long psalm. The longest of all the psalms is Psalm 119. The second longest psalm is Psalm 78. And this is the third longest psalm. Because it is so long, we obviously can't study it verse by verse in the course of one message. So that gives me an opportunity to repeat something to you that I tell you periodically. As we have studied the Psalms, I've tried to give you many examples of how to study the Bible. The work of the Bible teacher is to teach to others what he himself has first been taught. But it's also to illustrate methods of Bible study, to give you ideas about how to study the Word of God. God never intended that the only thing that you would learn about the Bible would come from other people. Doesn't matter how many sermons you hear, how many preachers you hear, it's not the Lord's will for you to get secondhand food as your only means of growing in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Every believer should learn something from the Word of God every day. That doesn't mean that you have to do a technical study from Genesis to Revelation that takes hours every day. It may be a few thoughts from personal devotions or from family devotions. It may be longer term study. But the important thing is to feed upon the food of this Word every day, to get the thoughts and ideas that God himself would have interjected into your mind and heart is something that you can think about as you go about the business of daily living. Part of my job is to give you ideas about how to prepare your own food. The bread and meat of the Word of God is good. It's good for our spiritual health. It's good to strengthen us in order that we might be able to carry out the work the Lord's given us to do. When it comes time to study, you can study the historical message.
You can study the personal message of a passage. You can study the prophetic message of a passage, or you can study all three as we did last Sunday night. There's topical study, where you take a certain subject and trace it all the way through the Bible. There is word study, finding out the implications of a single word. You can study a particular doctrine. You can trace the life of an individual through the Bible as God tells us different things about him or her. There's typology and symbolism. There is devotional study. The list goes on in terms of the application of general methods of Bible study. Different ways you can approach that which God has written here in his Word. Tonight, for example, we want to do a topical study. Not one all the way through the Bible, but one all the way through the 89th Psalm. And our topic is faithfulness. Some thoughts on the subject of faithfulness as we see that subject addressed here in Psalm 89. For example, in verse 1, we read about faithfulness to all generations. In verse 2, we read about faithfulness established in the heavens. In verse 5, we read about faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. In verse 8, we read of faithfulness round about the Lord. In verse 24, we read of faithfulness with the Lord Jesus. In verse 33, we read of faithfulness that will not fail. And in verse 37, we read of faithfulness in the form of a witness. Now, the way I found these 7 points that I'm speaking on tonight is not too complicated. No commentaries, no concordance. I used a very old-fashioned method called reading the Bible. You just sit down and read it. If you read a chapter, if you read a section, if you read a book for that matter, whatever portion you're seeking to study, and you read it several times, and you do it after asking the Lord to give you wisdom and give you understanding, you'll find that there are certain words or certain thoughts that begin to emerge out of that portion of the Bible. And it's like that because the Spirit of God is communicating to your mind and heart that which He wants you to understand, that which He wants you to think about. The topic that stood out to me in reading this 89th Psalm was this sevenfold reference to faithfulness. Now, when you find the topic that it appears is coming out of the page, giving you special attention, so to speak, then you think about each one of these mentions, each one of these places where the thought is mentioned. And if you think about what it says and what it means, you've done a Bible study. You've studied a portion of the Word of God and understood a certain set of ideas that the Spirit of God wants to communicate to your heart. For example, in verse 1, we read about God's faithfulness to all generations. Since the creation of Adam and Eve, there has never been a generation to which God has not been faithful. certainly has been faithful to each generation in too many ways to enumerate. The most obvious is by faithfully enabling men and women to reproduce so there would even be ongoing generations. It is the faithfulness of God that has made that possible. But the point in the mind of God, as we think about this first verse, is evident. We read here that he's been faithful, or as we look at this in the context of the people of God being obedient to it, carrying it out in response to what is being stated here. He has been faithful to make known his faithfulness to all generations. That's what God has done. That's the kind of faithfulness he's emphasizing particularly in this first verse. You see, the fact that God is faithful is totally irrelevant if nobody knows about it. If it's just true that God is faithful, that's good in and of itself, but it doesn't mean anything in the practical sense to the people of this world unless we know that God is faithful. Somehow that message has to be communicated. Since God is a spirit immortal and invisible, how do we even know that there is a God? Well, we know it because he's been faithful to make his faithfulness known to all generations. The question is, how has he been faithful? How has he been faithful to make his faithfulness known? And that brings us to the second point as we see it here in verse 2, by establishing it in the heavens. By faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. That's what we read in Psalm 19. And in Romans 1, we read that the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that man is without excuse. That's amazing when you stop to think about it. The heavens declare the glory of God. His faithfulness is established in the heavens. The firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, the Bible says. Night unto night shows knowledge. And there is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. His faithfulness established in the very heavens to all generations. Because God is faithful, the sun is there every day giving its light. Without that faithfulness in the heavens and the photosynthesis that it produces, pretty soon we'd be out of air. The moon and the stars are there every night. Even when the clouds are in the way, the moon and the stars are there. For most of man's existence, this faithfulness that God established in the heavens has been the only means of navigation at sea. Or a lot of times, navigation on land. Without the faithfulness of the wind established in the heavens, we would pretty soon choke to death with our modern factories and automobiles. But God is faithful so that those wind currents
come continually. They come faithfully to cleanse the world in which we live. Without the faithfulness of the rain, pretty soon we wouldn't have anything to drink, wouldn't have anything to eat. But the key point is this. God says these things speak to man. I'm not talking about an audible voice. I'm talking about a speaking to the mind of man. The heavens declare. The days utter speech. The nights show knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. God making known His faithfulness to all generations. By the creation, God expects man to assume his existence. You find that message throughout the Bible. And not only is man responsible to conclude that God exists by the message of the creation, he's expected to make the observation that the Creator is faithful. And be thankful for it. God expects man to assume that there is a Creator. He expects him to conclude that he's faithful. And he expects him to be thankful. The Bible states those things unequivocally in numerous places. It's not an excuse that God is invisible. The invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even to the point that God declares that given these things, man is without excuse if he fails to recognize them. His faithfulness is made known to all generations. His faithfulness is established in the heavens. Now that was true in the days of zero technology. In the days of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel. The days of the Old Testament. If that was true, if it was true that in those days of zero technology, God expected man on the basis of what he knew about the creation to assume his existence, to conclude his faithfulness. Imagine the deception involved when modern scientists do not believe in the existence of God. I mean, those people have to be in horrible shape spiritually. When you figure all the instruments that they have, all the collections of information that have come through the centuries, to give man an opportunity to examine the creation much more thoroughly, to see in far greater detail the faithfulness of God. There has to be an incredible deception upon the minds of these people living in this modern world. Verse 5 is the next mention of faithfulness. Here the psalm speaks to us of faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. Well, for one thing, that's talking about gatherings of the Lord's people. Gatherings such as the local church. And in the gatherings of the Lord's people, the congregation of the saints, the Lord is faithful to provide for us. He's faithful to protect us and help us. But think about this as well. Sometimes we use the terms godly and ungodly without giving a great deal of thought to what those terms mean. God is faithful. The word godly is a contraction of godlike. To be a godly person is to be a person who is like God in many ways. The word ungodly is a shortened form of ungodlike. An ungodly person is someone who is unlike God. One of the most evident ungodly traits of humanity is a failure to be like God who is faithful. Man by nature is not faithful. Man by nature is not like God who is faithful. Salvation and spirituality change that. They bring about a change in a person's life. The more godly, the more like God we become, the more faithful we become. This is the faithfulness of God being manifested in the congregation of the saints. That's what we were talking about this morning. How in this dispensation, in this era in which we find ourselves in particular, the great mystery is Christ in you. You as the body of the Lord Jesus Christ here in the world. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ is in you doing what He wants to do, one of the things He wants to do, one of the things He's going to do is be faithful. Because God is faithful. The Lord Jesus said, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much." Even though you may not stop to think about it, when you are faithful, you're being godly. That's godly activity on the part of a Christian. We couldn't have a local church without people who exhibit their godliness by faithfulness. Without people who are faithful, there would be no choir. Without people who are faithful, there wouldn't be anybody to keep the nursery. Without faithful people, without godlike people, the grounds and the building would not be clean. Only because of faithful people can we have a Christian school or Sunday school or daycare, prison ministry, tape ministry. If it were not for the faithful, we wouldn't have the money to pay the bills. And when people are faithful, that is the faithfulness of God who is faithful being manifested in the congregation of the saints. Now, conversely, it is an ungodly thing for believers not to be faithful. You know, it's interesting how God has set up Christianity so that the truth becomes evident. You don't have to be some great intellectual. You don't have to be some psychoanalyst to figure out what's going on in your own life and the lives of the Lord's people. You just have to take a very simplistic approach to life and believe what God says in His Word. For example, He doesn't want us to misunderstand the meaning of spirituality. We noted in a recent message that the Bible says, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, that man's religion is vain." It's empty. No matter how spiritual a man or woman seems, or how spiritual they would declare themselves to be, God says, "Here's a barometer that you can check every now and then. All you have to do is listen." Spiritual people have a spiritual bridle on their tongue. They keep it under control. Carnal people have a tongue that frequently gets out of control. Allowed to go around making any destructive comment that comes to mind. No spiritual bridle on the tongue. No spirituality. The Bible tells us that love is another barometer. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. God says you can know it about yourself, others can know it about you. Do you love the Lord's people? Not just the ones who make a big time over you, but all the Lord. Faithfulness is a similar type of barometer. Something that God has set in the Word in experience so we can measure what's going on. In the case of faithfulness, you don't have to say a word to demonstrate your spiritual condition. People can tell if you're carnal or spiritual by your faithfulness. The faithful are godly because God is faithful. The unfaithful are in an ungodly condition because God is faithful. Faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. Then in verse 8, we read about faithfulness round about the Lord. Round about the Lord are the faithful. Essentially, that's a reaffirmation of what I've just been telling you. The closer to the Lord we are, the more faithful we become in every way. Faithful in marriage, faithful in the church, faithful in prayer, faithful in Bible study, faithful in witnessing, faithful in helping others, faithful to both the letter and the spirit of the Word of God. If you get close to the Lord, if you get round about Him, that's where there's a great deal of faithfulness going on. You'll notice that when the Lord Jesus was on earth, in their carnality, His disciples argued about who would be the greatest. They never argued about who would be the closest. To be round about Him is to be a partaker of that faithfulness mentioned here in the 8th verse. He said that one day He's going to say to people, to some people, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." When the Lord measures things in the final analysis and begins to pass out rewards, it's not going to be when He measures the size of our accomplishments. It's going to be when He measures the reality of our faithfulness. "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things." Then verse 24 tells us that faithfulness is with the Lord. That verse is talking about the Lord Jesus, that my faithfulness and my mercy should be with Him. God the Father is speaking. And He says that His faithfulness shall be with the Lord Jesus. That's good news if you're saved. For that matter, it's good news if you're not saved. That the faithfulness of God the Father is with the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus died for you, the faithfulness of God the Father was with Him. It was with Him to complete the great transaction of salvation. And it's because your sin was faithfully dealt with on the cross of Calvary that you can be forgiven, that you can
receive eternal life as a free gift. But verse 24 is also good news if you are saved already. If you've received the gift of salvation, the Lord Jesus now lives in your heart by faith. Therefore, if the faithfulness of the Father is with the Lord Jesus, then that faithfulness is with you. If it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, and His faithfulness is with the Lord Jesus, then His faithfulness is with you. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God is faithful. And even if we falter, if we confess our sin, He is faithful. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Next we learn in verse 33 that His faithfulness will not fail. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from Him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. For example, His faithful sayings will not fail. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. His faithful sayings will not fail. His faithful praying will not fail. In the book of Hebrews, we read that the Lord Jesus is our merciful and faithful high priest. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. It's because of this praying that the Lord Jesus is doing on our behalf that, like Peter, our faith will fail not. Whether in salvation or in the preservation of His people, the faithfulness of the Lord will not fail. Finally, in verse 37, we see faithfulness in the form of a witness. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Selah. The word it at the beginning of verse 37 is a reference to the seed in verse 36. His seed shall endure forever, and His throne as the sun before Me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness. You know who the seed is? The promised seed of Genesis 3:15. The seed absolutely identified in Galatians 3:16. In verse 37, He's called a faithful witness. In Revelation 1:5, we read Jesus Christ is the faithful witness. He witnesses faithfully. Matter of fact, He witnesses to every person who ever lives. The Bible says the Lord Jesus is the light that lights every man that comes into the world. You can't get a more faithful witness than that. By His Spirit, He witnesses to the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. He brings conviction to the minds and hearts of people as to the reality of the existence of God. The reality of the responsibility of the creature to the Creator. The reality of the provision made through the death of the Lord Jesus on the cross. The faithful witness. So you can see that each one of these has a meaningful connotation. Each one gives us a lot more to think about, certainly, than we had time for here this evening. But right here in this psalm, seven times, there's a reference to this faithfulness. Faithfulness to all generations. Faithfulness established in the heavens. Faithfulness in the congregation of the saints. Faithfulness round about the Lord. Faithfulness with the Lord Jesus. Faithfulness that will not fail. And faithfulness in the form of a witness. Let's bow together as we close in prayer. Our Father, we pray that as we go from this place that we might think on thy faithfulness. That we might recognize continually that thy faithfulness will indeed not fail in our lives if we put our faith and trust in thee. We're thankful that tonight the Lord Jesus Christ is a faithful witness here in this place. That he is speaking to hearts. That he is helping thy people to be strong. That he's helping those who are lost to see their need for salvation. We pray that you'll continue to bless, to work in mighty power in these ways through the minds and hearts of each one of us. And we pray that thy word, which is truth, might remain in our hearts as good seed to take root, to grow, to bring forth life and strength in the life of each one of us in the days that are just ahead. We pray these things in the precious name of the Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen.